Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Off the ball. GAA.
But that's what people want to see. And there's no greater skill than seeing a player, a high fielding, in that chaos, a player plucking the ball out of the sky. It's a phenomenal skill.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
This is News Talk.
Okay, so it was a third place finish for Ireland in the 2026 Women's Six Nations. They ended up on 15 points with France coming in second and England winning yet again. England got the better of France in France yesterday on a 43 points to 28 scoreline. It was Wales who ended up with the wooden spoon. They were beaten at home by Italy on a 43 points to 24 scoreline. But most of our focus when it comes to the Six Nations, and we will come to the URC soon, will be on the Aviva Stadium yesterday, because Ireland were exceptional against Scotland. 54 points to 5 was the full-time score. Fiona Hayes, I'm very happy to say, is with us here in studio. An absolute disgrace that Ireland didn't nil them in the end.
I was absolutely raging for them because they actually had thrown their bodies on the line. I was covering in studio, I think it was the 81st minute, and Eilish Cal had put in a big hit. Someone else had run, sprinted like a scramble defence to really keep him out, but they had an advantage, and then they got another advantage, and Ruth Campbell got a yellow card, and there could have been probably three yellow cards in that phase. But look, it was the job was done in the first half.
It really mattered to Scotland as well, getting the try. They really did not want to be nilled.
No, and it's funny, that first half you were almost thinking, is this going to be, which isn't good for the tournament if it's and obviously you want Ireland to win, but I don't want Ireland to be winning 90-0, you know. And it's just because we've seen how much the tournament in particular has grown, and there needs to be more competition between teams, and that was the case. So certainly I think in the second half Scotland were a little bit better, but they definitely wanted that try. They were going after it. I think Jenny or someone even said to me in studio, will they take the three, it was Emer Constantine, will they take the three not to be nilled? And I was like, absolutely not. Imagine that, being 50 odd points down and saying we'll go for post in the 80th minute.
That's not acceptable.
No, I don't think so. I think you just go for that. It'd be pretty embarrassing if you called 3 points, I think.
You will take a big win for Ireland against any sort of team, but a team that they didn't beat convincingly last year. It was a 32-18 at Murrayfield last year. So when we talk about this progression piece, I think a lot of Irish fans are going to be pretty content if Ireland actually open up a bit of a gap on Scotland, Wales and Italy, because that's one of two things you can do. The other thing is closing the gap on France and England.
Yeah, look, and I think in chatting to everyone, and there was thousands and thousands of people by the time I got over to the stadium from studio, I can't describe the amount of people I met still around the place. And from chatting to them, it's that performance against in that first half against Scotland is like, yes, we need France in the Aviva next year, because there is a big belief that they could take France. Obviously,
that has to happen, right? Like, I'd be astonished if it wasn't the Aviva.
Look, it was brilliant. I was just like Aaron King, a young captain, and even putting the pressure on in that interview at the end, saying, see you all back here soon.
You know,
it's saying, okay, we're coming back. They wouldn't know that, obviously, because the fixtures and the stadiums aren't announced, but I think it does put a bit, when you get a sellout like that, it puts a bit of pressure on the RFU to obviously give over that stadium, even if it's just for one fixture. And for me, that has to be the France game if it's either of them.
You play both of them there, though.
100%. Like, I hope so, but I just don't know what road they're going down. But I have to say, because they are trying to spread it out around the country as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everyone is able to get there. We've had in Belfast, Cork, Dexcom. So there is an aspect of that. But certainly, I just felt like if you can get 31,000 people in there, there was a big drive for it. But the show they put on, and anybody that was there said it was unbelievable, the atmosphere, like a next level. And I've been to a good few men's games. They told me I missed out big time. It was rocking, the places.
So the fixtures are out for next year's Six Nations, and it's a week two where Ireland play France. So they're away to Scotland week one, week two against France. If they're going into that after beating Scotland, which you'd suspect they will be, and the record was set at the weekend of 31,294 supporters, France at home at the Aviva Stadium smashes that record next year, really.
Yeah, and look, I think as well, you're looking at RDS will be back up and running, so it's not going to hopefully clash with a Leinster fixture, because obviously when that comes into play, they would have that. Now, they probably could move that as well, but certainly I think that's it. It's a given after
really
what happened.
Is. Yeah, you're right. Everybody who was there yesterday, I wasn't there myself, but everybody who I was talking to who was there said it was a fantastic atmosphere. A lot of people pointing to the fact that tickets were obviously easier to get than they would be for a men's Six Nations game, and the way in which they're distributed, maybe more genuine rugby fans ended up in attendance at the women's Six Nations this year at the Aviva Stadium compared to the men's Six Nations. And you could even tell on TV, to be honest, some moments, there was just kind of the cheers at certain moments of the game, and sort of the way in which the crowd were engaging with the real life rugby related activity was different to what you might actually hear at a Six Nations game. So that's an interesting one.
Yeah, and look, you know, I went up after the game and there was nobody too drunk, so I think they sat down and watched the match and enjoyed that. A lot of people had their families. The IRF, you done a good job in, they were selling like family tickets, so I'm not sure of the price, but it could have been like two adults and three kids for 50-60 euro, maybe a little bit more. But they certainly had tickets for a tenner, and I know just before the day of the game, I think they were trying to get incentives, like getting clubs together, maybe local underage teams saying, look, there's tickets there. And I'm sure throughout that whole process, people were able to write to the RFU and say, look, we're bringing a group up from UL Bowes in Limerick, and they would have done a deal on stuff like that. So they really put a lot of effort, and you have to say fair play to them, because to get over that 30,000 mark is huge, and they were even pushing for that day, game day as well, like in the morning.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Memorial Day means serious savings at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,500 store-wide. Tempur-Pedic and Sealy adjustable sets are now up to $500 off. Or get a king purple mattress for the price of a queen. Plus, free next-day delivery and setup. And our exclusive lifetime price guarantee locks in your best price forever. The Sleep Outfitters Memorial Day Sale, going on now. You don't want to miss it. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
Your own experience then yesterday, you got your cap.
Yeah, well, yeah. So basically, we were on air, we ran out the door, got a cab, and it was, they had just a big kind of, I suppose it was a big board, and nobody had known at the time, you know, your number. It starts in 1993, and the amount of research that must have gone into it, because there wasn't videos of games back then, because I'm in WhatsApp groups and people are saying, have you your team sheet? Does anybody know this person, to try and see what she had, you know? So it's crazy to think about it. But it was going on for about 9 months, and when we arrived, the speeches were over, but there, Lynn Cantwell, I think, gave a speech, maybe Fiona Coughlin, and on one side of the board was all the 15s capped players starting at one. I think it's just under 300 I was on today, and I actually hadn't looked at, you know, you only look for your own name on the thing. So I'm 176, and then the 15s also got there, or sorry, the 7s also was on another side, where they were from starting a few years ago, where the cap numbers, so everyone knew the order and cap they got. And it's just under 300 women capped at 15s rugby in the country at the minute.
And did you get a physical cap, or
no,
was that already done?
We would have. So basically, I was a bit later. So in my year in 2013, you got a first cap.
Okay.
I did see Fiona and a couple others got 50th caps. They never would have got that. We only got our original. And then previously, I think like the soccer, I think people who hadn't got a cap from way back. I think the RFU had that sorted out beforehand as well. So, as I said, I missed the ceremony. There could have been the presentation of those people that had over 50 caps, but I saw Fi Coughlin going around with a 50th cap in her hand, and I think she got it on today. Right.
Good function?
Yeah.
Good night?
Good night, Owen. And I was on bright and early.
In Ireland AM,
there was a cab waiting for me at 6 a.m. I'm not going to tell you what time I came home with, but I did meet up with the team, and we ended up going out.
Was the cab waiting for you at Harcourt Street, or was it waiting for you at home?
No comment on that. But look, it was just an unbelievable atmosphere. When you were out there, nobody wanted to leave. I had people coming down from Belfast with their husbands and their kids saying, oh, I'd love to send him back off himself up with the kids in the car, and a couple of missed trains to Limerick as well that weren't got that last train back to Limerick or Cork. So look, I've never seen such a positive environment, and everybody was having fun, and you know, you met people that you probably hadn't seen in years. You'll always have a core group, but there's people like I could have played a World Cup with, and I mightn't have seen them since just after that World Cup in 2014, because they might move away or different things. People were flying in from all over the world, so the function was unbelievable. And then, as I said, we ran into the team then in Sligo Town.
Ah, very good. They must be delighted.
Yeah. Oh, they were in great form. I've coached a couple of them. I'd know a few of them, and sometimes over the years you'd run into them, there might be a few crying in a corner over a bad game or how something finished, or just in general the Six Nations. But there was an unbelievable vibe. Gareth Steenson, the coaches were out, they were having a bit of crack with all the girls, and happy faces. Everybody just, I suppose, you know, it's just such an intense environment to be in. And not just you'd be drinking anyway, but you wouldn't, and you'd be training hard and you'd be watching everything. So it gives you just that night to relax, take it in. And if it's on the back of a really good performance, you're just, the vibes are through the roof.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I think now the question of progress has been answered. I was sceptical myself after the England and France games. How do you actually manage or identify progress at this stage, given, you know, they can only win a maximum of 3 games? But it's the way in which they've won these 3 games which should give you a lot of hope.
Yeah, definitely. And the variety of scoring, especially yesterday, you know, started off with Cliona Maloney. So the pack, I thought, in this tournament in particular were unbelievable. Someone like Cliona Maloney, we know she'd had a run in with the RFU. She was over playing in England. She thought she'd never see a green jersey again. And she came back under Scott Beament and has gotten better. Like, she's an older player, and I just thought this was her best Six Nations tournament.
Arguably one of Ireland's players of the tournament.
Yeah, and her line out, her scrummaging, when she's not on the pitch, people that don't understand scrum, and like Niamh Jones is superb, but I've kind of played a little bit with Cliona, been around thereabouts. She's one of the best hooking scrummagers, you know, that's in that hook position. And when she leaves it, you see how important it is that, you know, it's not just your two props that can scrummage. If you need a serious scrummager in the middle, and I just thought she brought that. The scrum was anchored. It had gone through a few years where it was up and down. The bench were coming on and making big impacts. And, you know, you saw what they're trying to do as well. There was like a clear, yes, they have a kicking game. Scott Beament is a big fan. But if they have numbers out wide, if they want to spin it, they'll have a crack from anywhere. Obviously, to settle the game down, and game management was brilliant, the Six Nations as well, except for that French game where, you know, you're going to have that. They look back at that and there'll be severe disappointment. But for now, they'll probably just focus on that Scotland game and the delight of everyone that was there and watched it.
Yeah, like the Aoife Wafer try where she does the swan dive is brilliant. You go back a couple of steps, the dummy is brilliant. But I think we should chat about Robin O'Connor.
Yeah, we should. I think I tried to do that dive for Aoife in Sligo Town last night. Oh, it didn't work out as good. But no, Robin O'Connor is a real find.
Yeah.
I know there's, like, in the media and stuff in Virgin, they're looking at, like, from all the nations, a rising star award, and she certainly would have been someone that was nominated for that. I've seen her at underage, and I had the joy of coaching her at the start of the year. She was allowed to play club for maybe the first 4 or 5 games for Belvo. She was in the centre with us, and I said, this girl is absolutely magical for her age. And when you, sometimes that doesn't, for some people, you mightn't see it when they step foot on that international stage straight away. They need time to adjust. But she's been a star from the start. And even, you know, the confidence of her try yesterday on to like just step back inside. It's not like drilled into her hands wide. She's looking up. She could see the space. She could see the drift in between the two defenders. And she decided to attack that on the right hand, you know, side of the outside defender, and just beautiful footwork to go in. And on top of that, I think she's been physically dominant in defence, like just chops, bounces, get backs into the game. Like,
the footwork was the key thing. That if England scored that try against somebody, you'd be like, well, that's the individual talent that England have, that's why we can't compete with them. That's the sort of level she's actually brought to this.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I look at her and, like, obviously she's going to specialise probably wing now, maybe not, he might look at her. Like, she could play 9-10 centre fullback.
Really?
She's so talented. This hasn't been confirmed, but they only originally brought two nines into camp. And I think Katie Whelan, obviously Aveen Riley got injured, and that's awful. And then she got re-injured mid-Six Nations. So Katie Whelan had to be brought in because they'd only one specialised nine. But there was talks at the start of that maybe Robin could fill that backup nine spot.
Okay.
And as I said, she's played 10. Her dad told me she used to, when down the club, she played 10 at underage, put her in a 10 if you want, and centre her. She played 12 or 13 for us. I actually see her very similar as a Aoife Dalton type of character.
Right.
She's defensively solid, runs really good lines, but obviously, Scott, they're starting around the wing. You never know, in the back line you might find yourself in women's rugby, you can be moved in. But I think if she can nail down that spot, and herself and Bevan and Stacey Flood yesterday, the link up play was brilliant.
Yeah, okay, that's a really interesting one to keep an eye on then, with regards to O'Connor and where she might actually end up. In terms of what's next, like, obviously we're very quick to kind of rush on to next year's Six Nations, because there's a temptation to judge this team on France. And look, that'll come around, and it'll be the most hyped Ireland Six Nations game ever when it does come around. WXV coming up this year as well, right?
Yeah.
What are the expectations there, Fiona? Because the last one really felt like an important step forward with this team.
Yeah, look, I think they're pushing on now. They had that in the WXV, I think it's called Global Tournament or something now, they've kind of renamed it. They're going to be pushing, I think, obviously to win the games. But what I with the Six Nations, if you look at the team sheets, there was a couple of chopping and changing on in a couple of positions. Centre, we saw a few changes, and second row, generally everyone else was starting, bar injuries. So I think with this, they'll be looking at trying to blood another couple of players through. And I could be wrong, but we need to see someone else at 10. Dan has been absolutely spectacular, but if something happens to her, we don't. I think it's Stacey Flood that they'll put in. They haven't carried a 10 on the bench, an out and out 10. Stacey's played, yes, she has played a little bit back in the day, but probably we would know her more from starting 15 and playing in that 15 role. So I think in that global tournament, it'll be a chance to see that. But also, I'm really excited. They're basically, this is probably the first time in a long time, It's the Interpros in Ireland, so the Munster, Connacht, Ulster, Leinster games. There's three, and then a first, second, like winner, and a third, fourth. They're actually all being told to play it. So all the contracted players, all the sevens players, are going to be sent back to the provinces to play. And I've been talking to a few, and the English girls over in the PWR will probably be allowed to come back and play those inter-pro games as well. So it's going to be absolutely through the roof. I think there's maybe a week or 2 weeks, and then they go straight into the global game. So it's kind of getting them warmed up for that. In as long as I'm around in the last few years, it's very rare all the contracted girls would be playing in the Interpros. You know, there might be a couple in here and there, they'd be saving them, or the sevens players, you mightn't see them at all. So I think for Irish rugby, it's going to be one hell of a tournament this year.
So that's in the summertime before
that WFB. It's all of August.
All of August,
yes.
And do we have venues for those games yet or anything like that?
Yeah, it's generally, it's announced, they're doing... Dexcom. There's Thomas. A couple. It's Virgin Media. They Munster normally do. And it's Energia Park up here. And Aphidia in Belfast, and so there's, I don't know the ins and outs of it, so they'll all play each other once, and it's then that one. And for the last few years, I suppose it's been a Munster-Leinster final, but Connacht beat Munster actually Connacht beat Munster, and it was a Connacht-Leinster final. So I think with everyone released, the standard is going to come up with a lot higher, and you might see a couple of people move in province that they, you know, to play rugby and have the best players out there playing.
That's very exciting. Can I ask you finally your player of the tournament from an Irish standpoint?
Wow. Look, I think everybody's going to say Aoife Wafer, because she has been outstanding and she's been unbelievable. But for me, for every aspect of everything, Erin King is my player. Cliona Maloney is close second. But Erin King coming in as captain, how she's dealt with the media, how she dealt with everything got to do with that big game. And she didn't get player of the game yesterday, but she certainly was my player of the game. Aoife was outstanding, but she three turnovers that were just at key moments. Any time Scotland got anywhere near the ball, people were saying, oh, Scotland were poor. But in that second half, they couldn't get into Ireland's 22 because the likes of Erin King were turning over the ball. There was a couple of line-out steals as well. Dorothy Wall came on and did that. So just her first year as captain, leading the team, I thought in every game she's doing the dirty work at ruck time. She's everywhere. Her touches on the ball, her tackles are through the roof. Aoife and her, they balance each other out, but I'd go with Erin King for me.
Okay. You are listening to Fiona Hayes here on Monday Night Rugby and Off the Ball with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
This is News Talk.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.